Isaiah 44:9. They that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit, and they are their own witnesses. They see not, nor know, that they may be ashamed.
Good morning. Well, just so our listeners on the websites know, I don't have laryngitis. And it's that lump on my lung that's pressing against one of my vocal cords. So we'll try and get through this today, Lord willing. And by the way, I thank all those that have emailed me with their good wishes for beating this thing that I've got. And I plan on beating it. Oh, say, can you see? Is the first line in the Star Spangled Banner. And Francis Scott Key meant for it to mean patriotic pride. After a ferocious all-night battle in the War of 1812, their flag was still visible by the dawn's early light. The spirit of 1776, in the form of a flag, reflected what white Christian Americans were willing to die for, namely our freedom to worship Jesus and not be ruled by tyrants. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Well, when Jesus was abducted in the middle of the night by a mob of shameless hypocrites, the cross of Calvary is still seen by those who have eyes to see its glory after the dawn of 2,000 years. This translation of the King James, by the way, is a mockery as well, and that Jesus was not King of the Jews, that is, the non-Israelite, Edomite Pharisees, but rather of the Judahites, and thus true Israel. Jewish tyranny operates in the same manner today by kneeling to the graven image of sports. Kneeling is an act of reverence and obeisance, but the NFL owners have manipulated their slaves to mock themselves in the name of racism. They're completely baffled and blind to the worship of Negroes and what that means for white Christian America. The principle of part two is Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. In other words, when there is no one with eyes that see, our people are unrestrained to act like savage mongrels. They see not, nor know, that they may be ashamed. They are in contempt of what God reveals cast into outer darkness. Some Bible scholars believe this to be the guest thrown out of the bright lights of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I suggest you read John 3:19 and 2 Thessalonians 2:8 in light of that thought. The spirit of 2017 is a series of black flag operations and the Orwellian vision of a double-minded society. Very few people can see beyond the legacy of war is peace, freedom is slavery, and ignorance is strength. Man greatly dishonors God when he fashions him in the molds of secular humanism. The lie of the serpent Jew pampers the unbelief of agnostics and plants the seeds of absurd theology in the church of universal religion. If our people seek peace and happiness through the world, or make mental compacts with superstition and mythology, or any false system of belief, they feed on the ashes of Auschwitz and other Jewish fables. You see, I haven't lost my humor. The Jews are masters of deception, and in their arsenal of weapons of mass destruction, you will find the devices of the heart deceived by the pride that falls, the love of sin, and the mantra that we really don't need Jesus. There is no such phrase as war for Christ in the Bible, and to pursue such a course is how not to win the war against cultural Marxism, that is, Jewish mind control. Such warmongers are void of God's law of war and spiritually bankrupt. They only have eyes for death and destruction. The last thing the enemy wants our people to have are eyes that see life and peace. The real war is against our own fears and resentments, overcoming ignorance and doubt. Without eyes that see, one is merely chasing ghostly adversaries. Eyes that see, witness the specter of wickedness, just as Jesus understood the betrayal of old Jerusalem. Conformity to worldly pleasures depends on the depravity of man, or an ongoing affection of lies as his greatest treasure in life. They most assuredly prove the manifestation of a lie in their own lives, thinking their delectable things will save them from the wrath of God. Know ye not the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. The first step in deliverance is to suspect yourself as a sinner. you are not at peace with yourself, you are not at peace with your Redeemer. We must question the authority of our conscience. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Don't let anybody tell you what is good or evil, because the new covenant has written the divine law in your heart and mind. We, white Christians, strive to do good, but we have inherited the fall of Adam. We innately know what evil is, even though a lot of people are in denial that our sin nature is adversarial to God, race, and most importantly, life. Paul understood this conundrum perfectly, that the mind and flesh are at war with each other. Reconcile this challenge, and God will reciprocate by subduing his rods of chastisement. A lot of our Israelite warriors have the mistaken notion that our fight is outside our personal psyche, and thus hate or oppose the wicked. Now, there's nothing wrong with being in opposition to evil, but it's only a half measure. Indeed, the victory is found from within. I'm going to ask one of our renowned narrators, who, me? to come up and read some of the more lengthy scripture quotes that I have. Our narrator will read this first one, and then there will be a short pause where I'll make some comments, and then he will read another more lengthy scripture quote. So, Mr. Narrator, please come up and start at the top of the page there.
For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having readiness within to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is complete. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 6.
That is the only effective and salient, and if I could, I'd yell it, white power at our disposal. Once we get our act together from within, then we can struggle against the forces of evil from without. When do we know our obedience is perfected? When we have eyes that see. Not our sinlessness, but the defeat of our carnal sin nature, which is also called the old man. Paul is explaining the difference between the old man and the new man in Christ as follows.
We know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. But now it is not I who am committing this, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my flesh. For the desire to do what is good is with me, but there is no ability to do it. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. Now if I do what I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but it is the sin that lives in me. So I discovered this principle. When I want to do what is good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law at work in my body, warring against the law of my mind and holding me captive to the law of sin that dwells within me. What wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind I serve the law of God, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Romans 7, verses 14 through 25.
Now Paul is alluding to the children of Israel, selling their nation race into sin. But by the time of Christ, we had a kinsman redeemer to purchase the slave of sin. Sin brought death, but Christ brought life, eternal life, in fact.
And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. Little children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. He that commits sin is of the devil. For the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3, verses 5 through 8.
Well, this begs the question, or questions, what would we be deceived about? Was Christ manifested to take away our sins, or to take away the works of the devil? Is it possible that John is speaking about the same thing? If we are all sinners, are we all of the devil or of God? Whose sin brought about the fall of man from the beginning? The Greek word for devil is diablos, and simply means a false accuser or slanderer. Every sin is a form of a lie that accuses God of accepting self-righteousness and the righteousness of Christ. It's a ridiculous fallacy that promotes a hypocritical morality. Nothing even remotely relates to that concept can be found in the Bible. The Jews have embedded in their religion the Kol Nidre ritual, which annuls all vows and oaths for the coming year. That is, a license to lie. Doesn't it make more sense that when we lie, we must be associating with false accusers or those who bear false witness, like the Jew devils? John is clearly telling us that if you sin, you don't have eyes that see, which makes it a very rare commodity that not all Christians will enjoy. Once we see that sin comes from within, we can see that the blood sacrifice of Jesus is the most powerful weapon in the world to defeat and destroy the carnal flesh in pursuit of transgressing the law. There's not the slightest hint to suggest another supernatural power other than God to tempt mankind. And God does not tempt us. We've done it to ourselves. However, we have a remedy. The Spirit can overcome the flesh, our old Adamic nature. I'd like for Brother Joe to come up and continue in the vicarious manner of my larynx, starting here, and you can read to here.
Here are the racial facts. Only the ancestors of Adam were given the breath of life, Genesis 2:7, or the Spirit of God, and this race only were given God's law. This is established in Psalms 147, verses 19 through 20, where it is us and not them who were issued God's commandments. Furthermore, a barrier was established by God to prohibit His word from ever being pronounced by the racial non-Adamic alien. But God says to the wicked, "What right do you have to recite my statutes and to take my covenant on your lips? You hate instruction and turn your back on my words." From Psalms 50, verses 16, 17. Our entire race has been given hope out of this wicked world through repentance, or changing from a fleshly life to a spiritual life. But the world of mongrel wickedness should not have the word law of God. A so-called people group who are corrupt racially and condemned morally because it is not possible for them to repent. They are not forgiven. They are doomed. Therefore, the law says, "They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee." Exodus 23:33. Why the big push for illegal aliens in Europe and the U.S.? Israelite nations. Because it will make us doomed too. But through Christ, we can receive forgiveness of sins. The white power to overcome the flesh and the promise of a resurrection to eternal life at His coming. What happened to Paul can be our experience as well. Paul said that he wished not to do evil rather than even hoping to do good. If we do not understand Paul in Romans 7, it's because we are so far beneath the eyes that God gave him to see His own wretchedness. Verse 24. We cannot see the spiritual nature of the law, the error of our ways, and the mandatory hatred of immorality. Let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. From Psalms 97, verse 10.
Thank you, Brother Joe. And now, if Brother Jim may come up here.
Paul was willing to be in agreement with all points of the law, as we are, but we are all hindered by the haunting of sin and thus never attain the perfection of sinlessness. Therefore, our dire need for the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or spot. Eyes that see know a man always sinful can only be delivered by the free grace of God. Grace means unmerited favor and is only offered by Jesus the Christ to save us from ourselves. Only divine wisdom could figure out such a plan to root out sin from our hearts, to keep us from trusting in our own wisdom. In spite of the aforementioned, Christianity has something no other religion can espouse, and that is the doctrine of justification, simply expressed in Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If all of our sins were written on a chalkboard, justification is the eraser that wipes the slate clean. It helps us see the righteousness of faith, an assurance that Christ gives to us a new start. Believers may still be chastened by the Lord, not to punish us, but to correct any deviations. Why? Because the kingdom age will be populated by overcomers who were not condemned with the world. We are delivered from the enemy within by our union with Christ through faith. That's how the enemy without is brought to divine judgment through annihilation. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience as soon as your obedience is complete. 2 Corinthians 10:6. How can you go into battle with that pathetic, rusty, unsharpened sword? For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. Eyes that see the war know that priority has always begun with self. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone wants to follow me, he must deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me." Matthew 16:24. There's a senatorial race in Alabama to replace Attorney General Sessions' seat. A man seeking that position, who was Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, got into a lot of trouble years ago defying federal orders to remove the Ten Commandments from the Alabama Justice Building. Moore has a long history of combat politics and controversy. He is the founder of the Foundation of Moral Law and is not ashamed of far-right conservative and Christian values. The Jew-inspired communists have pulled all the stops in this special election and have brought forth former teenagers from 40 years ago to accuse Moore of immoral improprieties against these girls. The thing is, they wait just 3 weeks away from the election to bring dump trucks of media, diatribe, and hype to sort things out.
Thank you, Brother Jim. I think this story goes to the heart of today's sermon and the principle thereof. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I don't know if Judge Moore is an honorable man or not, but he certainly has the courage of his convictions and refuses to drop out. This says something exemplary of the Bible. Prove all things. Hold firmly to what is good. Moore is getting a taste of Babylonian jurisprudence, in which one is innocent until proven guilty becomes a joke. The perpetrators of such distasteful injustice, who make a mockery of morality, witness against themselves. They see not, nor know, that they may be ashamed. They are already in the sewers of outer darkness. Like NFL Negro slaves, they kneel in subservience to their paymasters. If you follow the money trail, you'll find the love of mammon. If you have eyes that see, you know where that trail leads, to the synagogue of Satan. I pray this message has been a blessing and rudder for the direction we must go. Thank you.